and always I, could not but discern all passages in his dominions. And he, having always love for his son as for himself, could not at what he saw but be greatly provoked and offended. Wherefore, what does he but takes them in the very nick and first trip that they made towards their design, convicts them of the treason, horrid rebellion, and conspiracy that they had devised, and now attempted to put into practice, and cast them altogether out of all place of trust, benefit, honor, and preferment. This done, he banishes them the court, turns them down into the horrible pits, as fast bound in chains, never more to expect the least favor from his hands, but to abide the judgment that he had appointed, and that forever. Now they, being thus cast out of all place of trust, profit, and honor, and also knowing that they had lost their prince's favor forever, being banished his court and cast down in the horrible pits, you may be sure they would now add to their former pride what malice and rage against Sadai and against his son they could. Wherefore, roving and ranging in such fury from place to place, if perhaps they might find something that was the king's, by spoiling of that, to revenge themselves on him, at last they happened into this spacious country of universe, and steer their course toward the town of Mansoul. And considering that that town was one of the chief works and delights of King Shaddai, what do they but, after counsel taken, make an assault upon that? I say they knew that Mansoul belonged unto Shaddai, for they were there when he built it, and beautified it for himself. So when they had found the place, they shouted horribly for joy, and roared on it as a lion upon the prey, saying, Now we have found the prize, and how to be revenged on King Shaddai for what he hath done to us. So they sat down and called a council of war, and considered with themselves what ways and methods they had best to engage in from the winning to themselves this famous town of Mansoul. And these four things were then propounded to be considered of. First, whether they had best all of them to show themselves in this design to the town of Mansoul. Secondly, whether they had best to go and sit down against Mansoul in their now ragged and beggarly guise. Thirdly, whether they had best show to Mansoul their intentions and what design they came about, or whether to assault it with words and ways of deceit. Fourthly, whether they had not best to some of their companions to give out private orders to take the advantage, if they see one or more of the principal townsmen, to shoot them, if thereby they shall judge their cause and design will the better be promoted. 1. It was answered to the first of the proposals in the negative, to wit, that it would not be best that all should show themselves before the town, because the appearance of many of them might alarm and frighten the town, whereas a few, or but one of them, was not so likely to do it. And to enforce this advice to take place, it was added further, that if Mansoul was frightened, or did take the alarm, it is impossible, said Diabolus, for he spake now, that we should take the town, for that none can enter into it without its own consent. Let therefore but few, or but one, assault Mansoul. And in mine opinion, said Diabolus, let me be he. Wherefore, to this they all agreed. 2. And then to the second proposal they came, namely, whether they had best go and sit down before Mansoul in their now ragged and beggarly guise, to which it was answered also in the negative, by no means, and that because, though the town of Mansoul had been made to know and to have to do before now with things that are invisible, they did never as yet see any of their fellow creatures in so sad and rascally condition as they. And this was the advice of that fierce Alecto. Then said Apollyon, The advice is pertinent, for even one of us appearing to them as we are now must needs both beget and multiply such thoughts in them as will both put them into a consternation of spirit, and necessitate them to put themselves upon their guard. And if so, said he, Then, as my lord Diabolus said but now, it is in vain for us to think of taking the town. Then said that mighty giant Beelzebub, the advice that already is given is safe, for though the men of Mansoul have seen such things as we once were, yet hitherto they did never behold such things as we are now. And it is best, in mine opinion, to come upon them in such a guise as is common to and most familiar among them. To this, when they had consented, the next thing to be considered was in what shape, hue, or guise Diabolus had best to show himself when he went about to make Mansoul his own. Then one said one thing, and another the contrary. At last Lucifer answered that, in his opinion, it was best that his lordship should assume the body of some of those creatures that they of the town had dominion over. For, quoth he, these are not only familiar to them, but being under them, they will never imagine that an attempt should by them be made upon the town. And, to blind all, let him assume the body of one of those beasts that Mansoul deems to be wiser than any of the rest. This advice was applauded of all, so it was determined that the giant Diabolus should assume the dragon, for that he was in those days as familiar with the towns of Mansoul as now is the bird with the boy. For nothing that was in its primitive state was at all amazing to them. Then they proceeded to the third thing, which was 3. Whether they had best to show their intentions or the design of his coming to Mansoul or no. This also was answered in the negative because of the weight that was in the former reasons, to wit, for that Mansoul were a strong people in a strong town, whose wall and gates were impregnable, to say nothing of their castle, nor can they by any means be won but by their own consent. Besides, said Legion, for he gave answer to this, a discovery of our intentions may make them send to their king for aid, and if that be done, I know quickly what time of day it will be with us. Therefore let us assault them in all pretended fairness, covering our intentions with all manner of lies, flatteries, delusive words, feigning things that never will be, and promising that to them that they shall never find. This is the way to win Mansoul, and to make them of themselves open their gates to us, yea, and to desire us too to come in to them. And the reason why I think that this project will do is because the people of Mansoul now are every one simple and innocent, all honest and true, nor do they as yet know what it is to be assaulted with fraud, guile, and hypocrisy. They are strangers to lying and dissembling lips, wherefore we cannot, if thus we be disguised, by them at all be discerned. Our lies shall go for true sayings, and our dissimulations for upright dealings. What we promise them, they will in that believe us, especially if, in all our lies and feigned words, we pretend great love to them, and that our design is only their advantage and honor. Now there was not one bit of a reply against this. This went as current down as doth the water down a steep descent. Wherefore they go to consider of the last proposal, which was, 4. Whether they had not best to give out orders to some of their company to shoot someone or more of the principal of the townsmen, if they judge that their cause may be promoted thereby. This was carried in the affirmative, and the man that was designed by this stratagem to be destroyed was one Mr. Resistance, otherwise called Captain Resistance. And a great man in Mansoul, as Captain Resistance was, and a man that the giant Diabolus and his band more feared than they feared the whole town of Mansoul besides. Now, who would be the actor to do the murder? That was the next, and they appointed one, Tisiphone, a fury of the lake, to do it. They thus, having ended their council of war, rose up and essayed to do as they had determined. They marched toward Mansoul, but all in a manner invisible, save one, only one. Nor did he approach the town in his own likeness, but under the shade and in the body of the dragon. So they drew up and sat down before Eargate, for that was the place of hearing for all without the town. as Eargate was the place of prospection. So, as I said, he came up with his train to the gate and laid his ambuscado for Captain Resistance within bowshot of the town. This done, the giant ascended up close to the gate and called to the town of Mansoul for audience. Nor took he any with him but one, Phil Paws, who was his orator in all difficult matters. Now, as I said, he being come up to the gate, as the manner of those times was, sounded his trumpet for audience, at which the chief of the town of Mansoul, such as my Lord Innocent, my Lord Will Be Will, my Lord Mayor, Mr. Recorder, and Captain Resistance, came down to the wall to see who was there and what was the matter. And my Lord Will Be Will, when he had looked over and saw who stood at the gate, demanded that he was wherefore he was come, and why he roused the town of Mansoul with so unusual a sound. Diabolus then, as if he had been a lamb, began his oration and said, Gentlemen of the famous town of Mansoul, I am, as you may perceive, no far dweller from you, but near, and one that is bound by the king to do you my homage and what service I can. Wherefore, that I may be faithful to myself and to you, I have somewhat of concern to impart unto you. Wherefore, grant me your audience, and hear me patiently. And first I will assure you it is not myself, but you, not mine, but your advantage that I seek by what I now do, as will full well be made manifest, by that I have opened my mind unto you. For, gentlemen, I am, to tell you the truth, come to show you how you may obtain great and ample deliverance from a bondage that, unawares to yourself, you are captivated and enslaved under. At this the town of Mansoul began to prick up its ears. And what is it? Pray, what is it? Thought they. And he said, I have somewhat to say to you concerning your king, concerning his law, and also touching yourselves. Touching your king, I know he is great and potent, but yet all that he has said to you is neither true, nor yet for your advantage. 1. It is not true, for that wherewith he hath hitherto awed you shall not come to pass nor be fulfilled, though you do the thing that he hath forbidden. But if there was danger, what a slavery is it to live always in fear of the greatest punishments, for doing so small and trivial a thing as eating of a little fruit of it is. 2. Touching his laws, this I say further, they are both unreasonable, intricate, and intolerable. Unreasonable, as was hinted before, for that the punishment is not proportional to the offense. There is great difference and disproportion between the life and an apple, yet the one must go for the other by the law of your Shaddai. But it is also intricate, in that he saith first, you may eat of all, and yet after forbids the eating of one. And then in the last place it must needs be intolerable, for as much as that fruit which you are forbidden to eat of, if you are forbidden any, is that, and that alone which is able by your eating to minister to you a good as yet unknown by you. This is manifest by the very name of the tree. It is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And have you that knowledge as yet? No, no, nor can you conceive how good, how pleasant, and how much to be desired to make one wise it is, so long as you stand by your king's commandment. Why should you be holden in ignorance and blindness? Why should you not be enlarged in knowledge and understanding? And now, O ye inhabitants of the famous town of Mansoul, to speak more particularly to yourselves, you are not a free people. You are kept both in bondage and slavery, and that by a grievous threat, no reason being annexed but, so I will have it, so it shall be. And is it not grievous to think on that very thing which you are forbidden to do, might you but do it, would yield you both wisdom and honor? For then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods. Now, since this is thus, quoth he, can you be kept by any prince in more slavery and in greater bondage than you are under this day? You are made underlings and are wrapped up in inconveniences, as I have well made appear. For what bondage greater than to be kept in blindness? Will not reason tell you that it is better to have eyes than to be without them, and so to be at liberty to be better than to be shut up in a dark and stinking cave? And just now, while Diabolus was speaking these words to Mansoul, Tisiphon shot at Captain Resistance, where he stood on the gate, and mortally wounded him in the head, so that, to the amazement of the townsmen and the encouragement of Diabolus, fell down dead quite over the wall. Now, when Captain Resistance was dead, and he was the only man of war in the town, poor Mansoul was left wholly naked of courage, nor had she now any heart to resist. But this was as the devil would have it. Then stood forth he, Mr. Ill-Paws, that Diabolus brought with him, who was his orator, and he addressed himself to speak to the town of Mansoul, the tenor of whose speech here follows. Gentlemen, quoth he, it is my master's happiness that he has this day a quiet and teachable auditory, and it is hoped by us that we shall prevail with you not to cast off good advice. My master has a very great love for you, and although, as he very well knows, that he runs the hazard of the anger of the king Shaddai, yet love to you will make him do more than that. Nor doth there need that a word more should be spoken to confirm for truth what he hath said. There is not a word but carries with it self-evidence in its bowels. The very name of the tree may put an end to all controversy in this matter. I therefore at this time shall only add this advice to you. Under and by the leave of my lord, and with that he made Diabolus a very low congee, consider his words, look on the tree and the promising fruit thereof. Remember also that yet you know but little, and that this is the way to know more. And if your reasons be not conquered to accept of such good counsel, you are not the men that I took you to be. But when the townsfolk saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, they did as old Ill-Paws advised. They took and did eat thereof. Now this I should have told you before, that even then, when this Ill-Paws was making his speech to the townsmen, my lord Innocency, whether by a shot from the camp of the giant, or from some sinking qualm that suddenly took him, or whether by the stinking breath of that treacherous villain old Ill-Paws, for so I am most apt to think, sank down in the place where he stood, nor could be brought to life again. Thus these two brave men died, brave men I call them, for they were the beauty and glory of Mansoul, so long as they lived therein, nor did there now remain any more a noble spirit in Mansoul. They all fell down and yielded obedience to Diabolus, and became his slaves and vassals, as you shall hear. Now these being dead, what do the rest of the townsfolk? But as men that had found a fool's paradise, they presently, as afore was hinted, fall to prove the truth of the giant's words. And first they did as Ill-Paws had taught them. They looked, they considered, they were taken with the forbidden fruit. They took thereof and did eat, and having eaten, they became immediately drunken therewith. So they opened the gate, both ear gate and eye gate, and let in Diabolus with all his bands, quite forgetting their good Shaddai, his law, and the judgment that he had annexed, with solemn threatening, to the breach thereof. Diabolus, having now obtained entrance at the gates of the town, marches up to the middle thereof, to make his conquest as sure as he could, and finding by this time the effect